Last Looks crew. So I've been trying to chat with more artists that work in the lab, workshop, studio, whatever you like to call it. So today in this episode, we're catching up with two Aussie gals who not only work in the lab, but also work on set as makeup artists. Carla Harrison and Emily James both work at Odd Studio in Sydney. I caught up with the Odd Studio owners back in episode 6, so check that out if you haven't already. The world of special effects makeup offers diverse career paths to explore. It's a multifaceted industry that allows artists like Carla and Emily to carve out specialized niches aligning with their specific skills and interests. These ladies have an insane amount of talent, and I was so stoked they agreed to chat with me on the podcast. Okay, so I want to tell you about my adventures last weekend. Now, back in 2020, I interviewed the hair and makeup team from SNL, Saturday Night Live. At the time, we were in the thick of COVID, but Jody, the hair department head, said to me, "If we ever get back to normal and you happen to be in New York, you should come and see how it all works backstage." So I totally took her up on the offer, and it was all pretty exciting. So wonderful to finally meet Jody in person, and of course her wonderful team. Everyone was so inviting and happy to explain how it all works. I had the lovely Inga leading me through the busy backstage area, explaining everything from daily workings to the studio's history. I was there for the dress rehearsal, and it is as busy backstage as you would imagine, but all very calm with a constant flow of people and set pieces coming and going. Anyway, I just wanted to share that fun little thing that I did last weekend, and thank you, Jody, again for being such a sweetheart and letting me crash your workday. Okay, so our next live Q&A is with wig maker Rob Pickens from Wig Maker Associates based in Beverly Hills. So if you have questions for a wig maker, this is the perfect opportunity to get them answered and find out a load of bonus information and insight at the same time. So live Q&A with wig maker Rob Pickens on Saturday, the 4th of May at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Grab your ticket, submit your questions, and we'll see you then. Be there or be square. And if you've missed all of our past live Q&As and you want to see what all the fuss is about, head over to the website, last-looks.com, and check out our live Q&A page. And then, of course, all those that applied for the Last Looks mentoring program, remember, I will be live on Instagram this Saturday, 20th of April at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to make the announcement with special guest Erin Kruger-McCash. We will be letting you know who the chosen mentees are and who you have been paired with. So mark your calendar and hope to see you on Saturday. Okay, let's get on with it. My name is Jamie Lee, a hairstylist working in film, and this is the Last Looks podcast, a show where I catch up with hair and makeup artists working in the film industry around the world. And today, I'm chatting with special effects makeup artists Carla Harrison and Emily James. On with the show.
And now, our feature presentation.
Pitch it up.
Last Looks. Rolling.
Welcome to the Last Looks podcast, Carla and Emily.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Of course. Okay, so this is where our story begins. I want you to finish this sentence for me, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, there were two little girls named Carla and Emily, and when they grew up, they wanted to be...
Oh, no.
Why, is it embarrassing, Carla? Why did you have that response?
I don't know what I wanted to be.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, yeah, I do. I do know.
Okay, what?
An artist.
An artist. Just didn't know what kind.
Nice. Just straight up.
Yeah.
That's good.
Emily?
I think I wanted to be in movies somehow, and I think I thought I wanted to be an actor for a bit, but then I realized that I am terrified. I get terrible stage fright, and I realized that there's more to movies than just being in front of camera, and I realized actually I really want to work behind the scenes. So
yeah. And Carla, when you are figuring out this artist thing, like, when does makeup and stuff pop up into your world?
Well,
My mum and dad actually are both very creative, and my dad's an artist. And so I always loved it, and I knew I wanted to do that. And so I actually, when I was very young, I had not much of a plan, but I really wanted to study something, and I was going to go into graphic design.
Yeah.
But I ended up, there was some, I don't know why, I must have been attracted to some makeup course at TAFE, and I just decided to flip a coin, and I just ended up doing makeup for fun. And yeah, I wasn't super keen because it was just, you know, beauty makeup at TAFE, but they took us to this part of the course. They took us to this other college called Three Arts, mm-hmm. Makeup Technology, and that building was just full of like amazing creatures, just stuff that the students had made, but it kind of blew me away. It was like full of creatures and monsters and makeup and prosthetics, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. You know, like it was a lot more artistic than, you know, maybe say a bridal thing.
So you saw the other side.
I saw the film side, I think, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, yeah, went from there.
Really?
And Emily?
Yeah, I was really, in high school, I really loved drama, and I was in like lots of theater productions, and I just really loved all of that kind of world. And so then I would find myself helping out with all the makeups and things for the shows we would do. And then through doing that, I met a friend's mum who would help out with doing these makeups for our shows. And she had studied at Three Arts, and I found out that you could do that, that you could do makeup for a job. And that's what she did. And so I thought, that sounds amazing. And so straight out of high school, I enrolled at Three Arts. And yeah, I was just super excited to get to be involved in some sort of productions like theater and then also film kind of stuff. And I came at it from I really wanted to do like the character kind of work. I loved like the storytelling aspect of makeup with how people look and the characters. And so, yeah, definitely knew early on that I wanted to do the special effects sort of end and the prosthetics and all of that.
And for both of you, was there a crossover here? Are you guys around the same age? Was Carla going to that place and you were actually one of the students there? Or
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Carla was the year above me, so we were there at the same time, basically. Yeah.
That's all.
I met Emily at Three Arts, and yeah, we didn't have much to do with each other, but we'd see each other in the hallway every now and then. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you leave there, are you trying to get work on set immediately, or are you thinking that you want to work in workshop?
I think straight out of college, it's you just want to try and get anything that you can. And I think that sort of college sets you up for trying to connect you with, I don't know, little short films and things like that. So it was a lot more kind of on set in the beginning. But yeah, I think for me, I sort of had heard of the guys at Odd, and I reached out to them because I just wanted to see what it was like in a workshop. And so I contacted them pretty soon after finishing college and, you know, just asked if they would mind if I could come in and do some work experience and just see how they do things. And yeah, and from that experience, I mean, they were very gracious to have me, and I loved it. I really love the build of things, like watching things get created from nothing. And I really loved that sort of thing. And yeah, that was my kind of journey into the workshop.
How about you, Carla?
While I was doing my second year at college, so the first year is sort of like makeup and a little bit of prosthetics and everything in between. And then the second year, you learn more prosthetics and workshop work at the college. Mm. And while I was doing that, I think it was Kath Brown. She really took me under her wing, I feel, and got me a lot of jobs. And she also got me to contact the boys at MEG. And so they very kindly had let us go in and just do a little bit of work experience with them. And so I would actually finish college and then at 3 and then go into MEG for a few hours every other day. And I just feel like I learned so much in there, like just being in the workshop. And then through that, through coming into the workshop and just being around the people that were working in the industry, that's how, you know, they got to know me. And then, you know, I got asked to go do The Hobbit, really. That was like my first big job. But through the people that I had been with, you know.
Lady, I didn't know you were so fresh when you came to The Hobbit.
Lady, I was fresh.
That's so awesome. What an experience. That's cool. And then how did you end up at Odd?
Well, I did The Hobbit and then I came back and I did another few little things in between. And then I actually think it was, I think it was Kath Brown again who contacted me and said, I'm working in Odd at the moment and they are looking for people. You should contact them. And so that was the first time I contacted Adam and, yeah, I went in for a little interview. I remember it's the only interview I've ever done and I was so nervous. Yeah. And, yeah, that's sort of how it started. And then, yeah, now I'm here.
And, Emily, so I'm assuming your work experience turned into more work with Odd and ended up just kind of continuing?
Yeah, they were very kind to me. I did work experience for, I think, a few months. And then at the time, they were just gearing up to start Mad Max Fury Road. And they asked if I'd like to come on board and do that. And then I, have just been here ever since. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, I mean, between the two of you, holy shit. Those first big films are whoppers, so that's amazing. So once you got into the workshop, what is the process of figuring out what you wanted to focus on? Is that up to you or are you like learning everything in the workshop and then it kind of becomes clear what you are stronger at so you kind of get put in those positions or how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I when I started, I was trying a bit of everything. I guess being fresh out of college, I didn't know necessarily what I was going to specialize in, but I knew that I loved the application end. So that was always like my number one and still is. I love the applying and finishing of a prosthetic, on an actor. But I did get to, and I'm so thankful for this, I got to experience, you know, everything from sculpting to mold making to casting out prosthetics to the art finishing end of things. So I've managed to have a dabble in everything and grow skills in each area, which I think has been really helpful for just understanding the process overall means that I know what we can achieve and how to go about getting to places, just having that kind of groundwork. But for me, I'm now specialized I mostly do the art finishing sort of end. Yeah, that'll be like the painting of any pieces that we make and then also the application and onset kind of stuff. Sometimes a little bit of hair work, but that's mostly Carla's sort of thing. But yeah, I do sort of still muck in wherever if we're low on people and we need more sculptors or something, sometimes I'll still help out there. But yeah, my passion is really in that sort of art finishing end of things.
That's awesome. And Carla?
I think for me, by the time I sort of ended up more seriously in the workshop world, I had already done like quite a lot of years of prosthetic makeup. And so I feel like I definitely don't have the same thing as Em. Like I didn't come in and learn every single aspect. I have done it at college, but, you know, as far as in a working environment, I came in from a prosthetic makeup into a workshop. And so when I came in, what would have been the first job? The first job was probably Fury Road as well. But yeah, so I just helped out. I would say I was more just, I was a helper in the workshop and then I would go on set and do the makeups. Do you know what I mean? Like I was the more makeup side of it. And then that sort of led into art finishing. I feel like those two cross over really well. You know, like you're pre-painting prosthetics or you're in every aspect of makeup, you're always painting. You know, it's sort of, I became an art finisher in the workshop. And then I was an art finisher for years and then all of a sudden it just shifted to hair. I think because I had done a lot of hair in the past through makeup work and then I think we had a couple of people that were mainly the hair people sort of go off and do other jobs and so it sort of, I became the hair person. just morphed into it.
And you're so good at it.
Natural talent for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
So it would seem.
Yeah, apparently.
That's awesome. So I'd like to just talk a little bit about how it works in Australia for you guys as well, because I know a lot of people over here in the States anyway don't really have that opportunity of working in the shop and on set. And I think the union kind of being able to be a union member can kind of make that difficult. Mm. I know some shop owners and people who run shops do both, so they are able to follow through from start to finish with things. But a lot of the people doing all the other things in the workshop, they specialize in what they do and they kind of stay there. They don't kind of move through to applying stuff.
Right.
I think that
I didn't know that.
Is pretty amazing that you guys get to do that.
Yeah, so lucky.
Yeah.
So you guys do actually go, like, you're still on jobs going to set and working on set as well as being in the shop?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of that's for me anyway, personally, that's what makes the job fun and satisfying. You see the end result is the good part.
Yeah, it's so rewarding being able to go from the workshop and see the journey, you know, something's taken, and then being able to take it on set and have that kind of closure moment and see, oh, wow, we created this. And that's, you know, it's very tangible. Oh, wow, we did this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very lucky to be able to do that.
I feel like it would be a very different job if you were just coming in and doing just your part. I mean, you know, just one thing. Yeah, it'd be very different for sure.
Do you guys ever do work on set that isn't odd related, or is it always odd related?
Yeah, I definitely do. I will still do a lot of work for, I'll do additional days. I've done, yeah, I still work in makeup departments sometimes for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do occasionally as well, maybe a lot less so than Carla, but yeah, I'll sometimes do, you know, dailies, like additional days here and there. Yeah, just when time allows, but for the most part, I'm with odd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great variety.
I feel like odd are just so kind and they always give us work, you know. We're often here, but, you know, sometimes there's downtime and we do other jobs, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not just doing it out of the kindness of their heart, Carla. I'm sure that you're bringing something to the table.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder.
I mean, I could be wrong. I could be speculating and assuming that's how it works more so over here. But I do feel like there is a little bit of a more of a disconnect. And it may be just because of the union. You have to be in the union to be able to go on set and work.
Right.
If you're busy working in the shop all the time, it may be tricky to get your days to then get into the union and all that type of stuff. So I'm sure there's plenty of people that do both, but I know that there's plenty of people that aren't able to as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's awesome, the variety that you guys get.
Yeah.
Oh, so lucky. We're pretty lucky. It's very fun.
Keep you interested.
Yeah,
definitely.
And so let's dig into some of the projects that you guys have worked on. I'd love to know three favorites that you guys have and why. And it can be for any reason at all.
Okay. You go,
Okay. Well, I think first thing that comes to mind more recently, Thor, Love and Thunder was amazing fun for us as odd. We got to create so many characters for that. That was like a real treat to be able to just make heaps of different kinds of characters, as well as the fact that we got to work with the amazing Christian Bale and getting to work with my best friends and with Christian. So Carla and Adam and I, we did his makeup, and it was just so much fun being able to be all together and work with such an amazing actor. Yeah, that's my number one. Do you want to do your number one, Carla?
Oh, mine is really different, actually. Mine is like the other end. So my favorite job that I think I've ever done was Penguin Bloom. And it was like it's a beautiful movie, but it's quite, you know, it was a small crew. It was, you know, a little sort of job. And it was just a hectic build. Like, we had to make these little birds for this film because the director was unsure of whether they would have a real bird at the time.
Mm.
And so we busted our asses off making this tiny little birds. And then right before we started shooting, they called and said, we've actually got real birds now. And so we were like, oh my gosh. So we basically ended up going on set every day as like backup, you know, in case this bird couldn't perform. And it was amazing. Like it was so relaxing. You know, there was not much pressure. There was not much stress. And we were up on the northern beaches looking, you know, over the water. It was just, yeah, it was just a good
chill.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice chill with like amazing friends, and the crew was amazing. And I just had the best time. It was very stressful, the lead up, but then the second half was, yeah, it was great.
And were the birds going to be like animatronic or?
Yeah, so we built two puppets. Oh, yeah, two. And there was another little stand-in one that we won't talk about. But yeah, we called him Bolt-Eye. But yeah, so we built two animatronic birds. One was what we call like a rod puppet. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was, yeah, like just a little bird, you know, half bird that sort of nestles in someone's hands and is remote controlled offset sort of thing. Oh yeah, it was good. It was a good job.
God, you guys do a bit of everything. It's crazy. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was wild too. I've never built a bird before, you know.
Don't you
in the deep end.
You have a bird at home, don't you? Don't you have a little magpie that hangs around?
Yeah, exactly. So after that job, I'm like obsessed with magpies now, and I happen to have one or two or three. God. I mean, they're wild. They just
Snow White
visit.
Over here.
Yeah. But I feel like so that job started it all. And that's on that job as well, I started surfing again. Mm. And it just was like a good time. It was just a good time.
Nice work-life balance.
Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome. And Emily, what's another one?
Another one, I really loved working on the Pirates 5. I think that's we first met Jamie Lee on that.
That's my briefly. Other one too.
Oh no, I'm sorry for taking
no,
that.
It's good.
We can both have it. Yeah, it was just I really loved those films when I was younger, and so getting to work on one was super surreal, and you know, just like a really fun kind of job where we're making, you know, all the villains in that doing the prosthetics through Odd under Rick Finlayder, who was awesome. And yeah, so it was just like a really special kind of coming together. My younger self was like, oh my gosh, I'm on the Black Pearl right now.
Yeah, I had that moment as well. I was just like, is this the Black Pearl? Oh, fuck, this is actually the Black Pearl. Oh my gosh, we're on the Black Pearl.
We're on the boat.
Awesome. Yes.
Not on the water, sure. But you know, still.
Yes.
On a gimbal. Yeah, mine is Pirates as well. Mine is obviously a bit different. I was in the makeup team with you, Jamie, under Rick Finlayder, who was amazing. And yeah, I just had, again, the best time. I actually feel like I learned so much on that job. That for me was like, yeah, I just feel like there was so many amazing, talented people on this team that Rick had put together that, and yeah, I just feel like everyone was really open with, I don't know, just all their tips and tricks. And you, Jamie, oh my gosh, you helped me. I don't know if you remember the wig, the stunt wig that I had for my guy. I was like, help me. And you did. You helped me a lot. And yeah, I just had the best time. It was great.
Yeah, it was a big team. I mean, and then you'd go into the crowd room and it's just like ridiculous amounts of people
huge.
In there. It was pretty massive.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun job.
Yeah. That's my one and only job that I've done in Australia. I don't even know
really?
Why I haven't done
what?
More. Yeah.
No way.
I did a week in Tasmania for something that we were shooting in New Zealand. But yeah, that's it.
That's not the same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. It doesn't.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no. Sorry, Tasmania.
Yeah. No, it was a fun job. It was a really great group of people.
Yeah, I had a great time. Like I made friends on that job that I'm still really good friends with in real life now. You know what I mean? They're the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was one of the... I was one of the people who completely ran away from those ghost makeups. I was just like, Rick, I'm not doing them.
Really?
Yes, I didn't know that.
It was just my confidence. I was just like, I can't do this.
Oh, stop it.
And so I was pretty much just helping with wigs and then helping with hands.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a ghost. I didn't lean into it.
You would have nailed it.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have been fine. And as you say, I had people on both sides of me in the trailer that would have totally helped me out if I had issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Rick kind of paused for a moment and kind of looked at me like, really? You're going to back out of this one? Okay.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, shit. Now I've disappointed Rick for the rest of my
life. Oh, no.
But I was still helpful. But
for sure.
I
was on the same team as you and I didn't even know you didn't have a ghost, you know.
It wasn't that noticeable.
I didn't know.
No, I was just helping wherever I could. It was just like trailer hopping and just whoever was running behind or needed help with something, I was there to help.
For sure.
Yeah. And what is your number three?
Number three for me, it's really hard. I mean, I've been very lucky that there's been so many to choose from. For something completely different, I worked over in the UK for a tiny bit and I got to work on the film 1917. And that was just a really beautiful film, and like the aesthetic was amazing. So I was working in the prosthetic department for Tristan Viss Lewis under Naomi Dunn. And yeah, it was just a really cool experience. I got to meet so many new artists over there and that I hadn't met before. And it was just, I learned so much from them. And yeah, I was, yeah, just had an amazing experience on that job. I really loved Tristan's vision of sparing no detail, basically. We made some amazing dummies, basically, lots of dead bodies. And, you know, they were just so detailed, like down to every single last hair was punched. And these bodies were just sort of strewn through like the trenches when you see them in the film. And, you know, they're not getting these massive close-ups, but, you know, just to know that like all the work that went into it and, yeah, everything was just really beautifully done. And, yeah, I just really loved that job. Yeah.
I guess too, it's just being prepared. They could have been like ended up having close ups on them or whatever it was. So you guys were just fully ready for anything, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So much more relaxing when you know that they can flip the body over and it's going to look good on the back or the front or whatever. You know, you're just like, whatever you want.
Yeah. It's here for you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's good.
Carla?
I think for me, I would have to say, my third favorite. Yeah, it was a hard one actually, but I do think that it would be the Mad Max Fury Road pickups for me because that was the first time I'd properly worked on a job for Odd.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on a job with those guys. And at that point, I think I'd done The Hobbit, I'd come back, I'd done a few other jobs, and I was actually unsure of whether I wanted to stay in the film industry. I was like,
did The Hobbit break you, lady? What happened?
Well, that was a hard job. You know that. But it was also amazing. I never look at a job and be like, oh, that was, you know, the worst job. Mm. But there was so many good moments and also so many hard moments. But I was a bit unsure. I was like, oh, this, it's pretty full on. It's, you know, it can be full on, I guess. And yeah, I was just really unsure at that point and I was thinking about maybe going back and studying something else and just, yeah, moving in a different direction. But yeah, then I worked for these guys and, you know, I was suddenly back on set doing some really cool makeups with some really cool people and I was just like, actually, you do love this.
Yeah.
You know, like you do love it. And yeah, it brought me back, I have to say. That job and the crew, it brought me back to wanting to do it again. So yeah.
Nice to have those reminders.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And those experiences.
We're all better for it. Yeah.
So working on set versus in the shop, what are your pros and cons there, do you think? Or you just love it all?
No, I actually think it's two really different jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally think like your skill set that you need for on set is very different to the skill set. Well, I don't know, maybe that's controversial, but I do think the workshop world can fall into a bit more of a 9-to-5 feel. It's not always like that, but, you know, you do rock up and you bring your lunch and you, I don't know. I just think, yeah, I think it is really different. I don't know. What do you think, Em?
Yeah, I guess they both have their pros and cons, really. I think, you know, like we were saying before, I feel so lucky that we get to have a bit of both. I think that working in one exclusively, for me, I'd get maybe a bit restless. I really love the option of being able to, have the different pace of the workshop. Maybe can be slightly more steady pace. Sometimes it's pretty intense as well. And it still can have long days and tight deadlines. And it can be pretty stressful in a different way entirely. And then onset, you know, that can be really slow and like sitting around and just, you know, but still long days. So I don't know, there's pros and cons of both, but I love to be able to do both, but I don't think I could do one or the other for an extended amount of time, you know, and be like, I don't know.
I totally feel the same. And every time I do an on-set makeup job or something like that, I'll be like, it'll be so nice to do a workshop job now and just, you know, sit and do hair punching in a corner somewhere. And then after I've done the hair punching job, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be on set and, you know, just do something different. It's good. The balance is really good. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
You're making me want to work in a shop.
It's pretty good, JL, not going to lie.
Join us.
I just opt for having time off. I'm like, I'm just going to work like a dog.
That's also
and then
good.
Have time off.
That is also the dream.
That's good too.
So, I mean, because you're always working under somebody in the way of like when it comes to, I guess, character design, like approaching character design and development and all that type of stuff, how does that work? I mean, you obviously have to be pretty adaptable and okay with having somebody go, no, this is not the direction anymore. Mm. We're completely changing it. So scrap that. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys navigate that type of stuff? Because I know some people, it's a little bit of a shock to them, I think, when they get into this line of work and they don't realize, I suppose, that you're there to facilitate somebody else's situation.
Vision.
And even for myself, when I'm a head of department, like I'm not 100% of this is not all my doing or what I want to do. I'm pretty much most of the time doing what other people are wanting me to do. So you need to be, I don't know, chill enough to just, you know, when they don't like something that you've brought forward to them, you can be like, okay, well, what do we try next? You can't take it so personally, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you guys work with all that stuff?
I'm fine with it. Actually, I don't know why, but I can be very I don't mean this in a bad way, but I can be very unattached to the, how do I word this? I find it less pressure when I'm just fulfilling what somebody else wants, if that makes sense.
Totally.
As soon as I have a bit of creative freedom, I put a lot more pressure, I guess, on myself to, I don't know. I don't really know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, no, I do.
You're making sense.
Yeah, I do find it, a lot easier to just be like, oh, you want to, you know, Em and I just did a job. It's like pink, you know, you want it blue. It doesn't matter to me, you know, like whatever color you want, you just tell us and we'll make it happen. Yeah, like I don't really get super attached to a design. That's myself personally.
Yeah. So as an artist, you're still enjoying doing that? Like you're not feeling like you have to bust out and create, or is that something that you do outside of work, or you're satisfied with what you are doing creatively that it kind of fills?
I personally am very crafty and artsy outside of work, so I think that's where I get my little artistic buzz from.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in this world I do, but I still love, you know, there's something so cool when, you know, a design lands on your desk and it has to look like this, you know, and then you just, that you bust your guts to get it to look like that. And then you stand back at the end of the job and it looks like the picture. It's gives you like, it's good. It's really fulfilling. I still find it very fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, even the challenge is yours, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's me anyway, personally. Yeah.
I completely understand that challenge. Yeah. That, well, the just the ease, I suppose, of not worrying about all the other stuff that the bosses are having to worry about. I remember that when I was working in the salon and all my clients would be like, so when are you going to have your own salon? And I'm just like, what? Mm. Are you crazy? No, I'm not doing that. It was just like, I don't want to be thinking about the salon while I'm on my weekend or my days off or take work home with me or stuff. So it's just like, I'm fine coming in at this hour and doing whatever I'm asked to do and then leaving again. Like it was,
I love that personally.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Okay.
Yeah.
And Emily?
I always remember being given the advice of not being too emotionally invested in something that you can't be flexible in and easily scrap it and just start again if it's not working. And I always think that, yeah, it's such a healthy way to try and view your work and just to be able to like hold something lightly enough that you are flexible, because it's always a collaboration. You're always working with other people and other people's vision, and so you kind of have to trust the process. And then sometimes it's better for it if, you know, scrap something and start completely again, and you're just like, oh, actually this is, you know, we learned stuff the first time and we came out better for having started again. And I think that has, it is kind of freeing. Like what you're saying, Carla, it's like this, there's this freedom in, you know, it's someone else's vision and I'm just trying to get us there. And, you know, if you're not happy with it yet, that's okay. We can keep working on it. And yeah, it's lots of experimenting and testing and then just, you know, it's fun, kind of like that journey of troubleshooting something to try and get there. It's like a little puzzle. How do we achieve this kind of thing? Yeah.
I think it is, the keyword, it does feel freeing, because it took me, I'm a bit of a control freak, so it took me a minute to just be okay. I guess when I started department heading and I would be doing something, I'd be like, oh, I don't like this. And, you know, you get it to set and director's happy, actor's happy, everyone's happy, and you're like, ugh, okay.
Yep.
At first, that was just like, yeah, but it could be better and it could be this and it could be that, and it would really stress me out. But now I'm just very happy to go, happy? Okay, great.
Yeah.
If that's what you like, if that's your buzz, all right.
Yep.
No skin off my nose. It's just like, this is your circus. I'm just here to like do some hairstyles. And not that I don't take my job seriously. It's that it's just, well, that's what you want. You're happy, then I'm happy.
And I think I'm in a way the same, almost the same, as in I think actually I am a bit of a control freak, naturally. I want to have control over every aspect of how something is going to look. I know that sounds really weird, but and so it's kind of like the only way I can do it is just be like, oh no, this is not mine. It's just me creating something for somebody else.
Yeah.
You kind of separate it.
Yeah, separate it from being emotional in a weird way about it, or, you know, oh, I'm upset because it doesn't look how I want it to look, or I would have done it like this, or whatever it is that you're thinking at the time. But it's easy.
It's true. You kind of do need to take the emotion out of it. And being a group of artists, I think that can be difficult sometimes, but once you work it out, it's...
Yeah. If everyone's happy, I'm happy. 100%.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, we're always going to be our own worst critics. Like, we're always going to be like, I wish I did this differently. But I think the thing is you just have to trust each other. And if other people are happy with it, then you have to trust, okay, it's good. It's good enough. It's going to work.
And I think that also falls into, you know, why, you know, when you surround yourself with people, when you're with a team, you want people that are going to support you, sort of thing, you know. It does look good, or don't worry, I know this is all you see, but that's not the problem, you know. You need the people to like be there to be like, you're overthinking it or you're underthinking it, don't worry, you know.
Tell you to step away for a moment, so you can come back with fresh eyes.
Don't worry.
yeah
definitely.
And Emily, you were saying before some advice that you received. I just wanted to kind of dig into that a little bit more about, with both of you, like just advice that you have been given maybe earlier on in your career that has stuck with you. Anything, Carla?
Yeah, I have one. I have one that I still use to this day.
What is it?
It
was actually, Jamie, do you remember Matt O'Toole?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. How could you forget Matt O'Toole?
How could you forget that guy? Yeah, yeah, I love that guy. He told me once, because I would always struggle, especially on The Hobbit. You know how, you know, like, when should I, you know, when should I go in and do checks? Or I think that looks good, but I'm not sure. And it, did his hair fall down and I can't see? And, you know, I'd always be like, you know, oh, it's really tense on set. Should I go in and do this check? You know, you know, all those moments when you're just like, oh, is it worth it or whatever? Yeah. And he was just like, you know what? Someone apparently told him this and then he told me this. So I'm not sure exactly where it comes from. But he said, imagine you have an imaginary big button with you when you're looking at the monitor. And he is like, if you could press that magic button and it would fix the thing that you're worried about, would you press it? And I was like, yes. And he's, well, then you should go in and fix it.
Right.
And I was always, I use it now to this day. I'm like, would I press the button? You know, like when I'm looking at the monitor. And I'm like, yep, I'll go in and fix it. So basically, yeah, just like always fix it.
Because Carla always wants to push the button. So
always I'm always it. Wanting to push that button. But yeah, it just helps me because sometimes you're unsure. Sometimes I'm often unsure. Oh, does it look good? Does it not look good? You know, should I go in? And then, yeah, I just think of that imaginary button.
That's awesome.
Love it.
So if you see me staring at the monitor, I'm thinking of a button.
So good.
Someone randomly is going to listen to this and they're going to see you doing that one day, Carla, and they're going to be like, do you want to push the button?
Yeah, I have said this to a lot of friends of mine and they often will come up to me and be like, you're pushing the button? I'm like, yep, I'm going in.
Awesome. That's good.
Yeah, I always think about it.
It's good advice. Emily, you got any more up your sleeve?
I don't know. I feel like that was the main one that really stuck out to me about,
yeah,
just not being too emotionally invested.
No, it's a good one. I mean, let's move on to maybe what advice you guys would give someone looking to get into this line of work or if they're at the beginning of their journey.
Yeah, for sure. I think something that I've thought of is that I think advice I would give is practice really hard at your craft individually, yes, but also I think sort of learn to embrace that it's always a team thing and that it's always, you're always going to be working with a lot of people and there's so many people involved in making a character. And so you really have to be a team player. You could be really talented, but if you don't sort of play well with other people, then it's really going to impact the quality of the team and the work outcome, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to say that nicely.
That's no, that's really good.
No, it is. Yeah, be a team player or it's just going to suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
true. But it's true. Yeah. I've seen some incredibly talented people not really go very far because of those things, you know, because they couldn't work well in a team.
Yeah, it's good advice.
I don't really have advice, but I have a hot tip if someone
well, let's get it out.
Is right. wanting to work in a workshop.
Is there a phone number we need to call to get this hot tip?
That's this podcast. Just log in. I would say if you want to become the most useful person in a workshop is very quickly learn where everything is.
Right.
If you can learn where everything is, and also like kind of, you know, quickly learn everybody's roles and jobs and, you know, all this stuff, you'll be so useful. There's nothing more useful than turning to someone and being like, oh, where's the anything, gloves? And they're like, oh, it's on the top shelf over in the corner. It's, oh, that person. Oh, they are good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly helpful. And there's nothing worse than when someone asks you to go grab something and you're like, where the fuck is it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I need it like now. Hurry up.
Yeah. If you're that type of person, I feel like those people that come in and, you know, really learn the layout of a workshop and, you know, everybody's roles and really chip in and help everybody, man, they go far. And you wouldn't think, it's got nothing to do with talent. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's got nothing to do with being creative. It's got nothing to do with, it doesn't even really have anything to do with what you're being employed for necessarily. Mm. But if you are also that, oof, it's a killer. It's a killer combo. Yeah.
It's just like a bit of initiative that really goes a long way, I suppose, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Now, looking back, has working in the film industry been what you thought it would be?
I guess it's really hard. I guess you don't know what it's going to be. I guess people assume it's going to be glamorous. That's what you maybe think it should be. But yeah, I suppose, you know, especially the onset kind of thing, it's, you know, like I was saying before, lots of sitting around, you know, the Portaloos kind of thing is very unglamorous. Yeah, it's not what I thought it would be, maybe. Yeah.
Were you hoping for a little more glamour?
I don't know, maybe. But not that I want it to be glamorous now. I actually really love how it is exactly as it is. But I don't know. I'm trying to imagine what I thought it was before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes you just have no idea, right?
That's just like, yeah, that's it. There's no point of reference. Yeah.
I don't really know what I thought it was going to be. I don't know.
There weren't really, too many expectations.
Didn't think much about it. I just fell into it. Yeah. I guess maybe, well, you know, when you are in the back room somewhere scrubbing like a dirty suit that someone's wore 500 times, it's not super glamorous and you didn't think, you know, you often find yourself in situations where you're like, how did I end up here?
Yeah. Questioning your choices.
Yeah. I did not think that this was going to be part of the job. But it's not bad. I'm never not enjoying it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I would never want to do this.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy most about what you do?
I thought about this a lot. There's a few things. I think I love the moment when you finish, you know, like a makeup or a creature or something, and it's, you know, when you do the final touches and it's done, and it just is, oh, like in the makeup chair at just before they like leave the trailer. And you're like, oh, man, it's good. You know, and then you're like, oh, now I have to maintain this for the rest of the day. And it's like, whatever, you know, it's, okay, cool. Now we do the work. But there's that split second where you're just like, oh, that looks so good or whatever. I enjoy that moment immensely. And then I also think what I love the most about film is like the collaboration, like when you walk on set and there's an amazing set and then there's amazing costumes and, you know, the hair and the makeup and the lighting and the camera work, and it all just comes together. Like, I love seeing the combo of all the different departments come together and make a film. It sounds cheesy, but I freaking love it.
I think so too. I think, it's awesome to see everybody's craftsmanship.
It's good cheese, lady. It's good cheese.
Yeah. But it's not like just the makeup, you know, or just the creature that you made. It's like the whole thing.
Yeah.
I love that we are helping to tell a story. I think, you know, I love, you know, filmmaking in general, we're telling stories about people, and I love the part that we get to play in the prosthetic sort of end of it is like helping to tell a character's story with how they look and just, trying to sort of figure out how do we tell that story with what they look like. And so that kind of journey is really kind of cool. I just love that we get to be part of that. I don't know, storytelling. That sounds really cheesy as well, but I don't know how
it doesn't. It doesn't sound cheesy at all. It's true. It's true. It's very cool. And what do you guys find most challenging?
Oh, yeah, this is easy for me. I find the hours really challenging.
Yeah.
And I feel like the older I get too, the more challenging it is. The hour.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it for me. It never, ever gets easy waking up at 3 or 2 or whatever, ever.
Yeah.
Never feels good.
No, I'm the same. I think the hours, they can be really antisocial hours. Like, you miss out on stuff, you get really tired, so you just can't
work-life balance.
It's, you know, obviously that, I think that goes for on set a lot of the time, but sometimes even in the workshop, like sometimes we're working such tight deadlines, you've got to be working around the clock to get something out. Anyway, so that can also be pretty antisocial and, you know, can be really taxing on the body. Like, it's really physical sometimes. And so I think definitely the hours, and it can feel pretty challenging.
Absolutely. I feel like most everyone would agree with you, and if they didn't, then there's something
crazy.
sound like some kind of superhuman.
I want to know their secret.
Exactly. What are you taking exactly?
What are you taking?
And is the long-term effects okay? So what is a film you guys remember watching throughout your life and just being blown away by the hair and makeup?
It's so hard. There's so many.
I actually don't know.
Carla's like, they're all shit.
No.
I'm kidding.
This is the one question I was like, I don't have an answer.
It's so hard to pick one. I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's always amazing hair and makeup in films, you know, pinpoint one. But I'm thinking now maybe like from the sort of prosthetics end of things and like from maybe early me, like just getting interested in stuff and trying to, like what really stood out to me being like, wow, that is really cool. I think those Lord of the Rings films, that was that really stood out to me as, wow, these are really cool characters. And just being fully immersed in that kind of world. And I loved the work that they did. And I loved watching the behind the scenes of that, of them making, you know, all the orcs and things like that, like when I was younger. And I think that was like part of the, you know, realization that, oh, you can do this for a job. So I suppose that's one that I can remember being maybe blown away by. But since then, of course, so many more. I don't know.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm asking you to narrow it down to one out of how many films have you watched in your life? So, understandable. Carla, it's okay if you need to pass on this question.
I don't know. I don't really have a favorite, but the one movie that I do remember, and this is as a kid, you know, like kid watching and being like, it's the first movie that I really clocked that people, like actors wear makeup, if that makes sense. Oh, they wear makeup and they're changed like how they looked. And I was really like into that as a kid, which was The Wizard of Oz. Like old school, you know. That's cool. I remember like the lion, you know, being like, how did they change his face? You know, like how did they make him look like a lion? And actually paying attention to, you know, the fact that someone has changed a person to look like a creature. I was pretty into that. So, I think that's where I started to notice that movie made me notice makeup in a weird way.
That makes sense.
I can't say it's my favorite, but it's a movie that had an impact on me.
Yeah, it has an impact. Absolutely. And, you know, these questions that I love to ask everybody, what one tool or product do you never want to be without?
I know.
Do
mine.
You want to tell us?
Do it. It's controversial, but the one thing I will never want to be without is my phone.
No Christopher Nolan film for you then.
Well, I just think it's such a good tool.
Yeah. You
know? It's a tool.
I think you're just incredibly honest, and I feel like most people probably should want, you know, that is the top of their list of answers, but you're just bold enough to say it. Oh, I totally agree.
That's good.
I don't really. I have a few brushes that I absolutely love and use every makeup that I do, but, you know, I don't know. That's a bit boring. Everyone has a brush that they love.
Emily?
It's a tricky one. I was trying to think before. I think maybe this is cheesy too, but I think maybe my airbrush. I have this airbrush that I love to use, and because I'm just thinking of what's like the most transferable between workshop and on set. And I think you know, like I would use this in both contexts, and you know, I think there's something kind of grounding about, you know, being able to start the same way on if I'm in the shop or on set, and I can just sort of, you know, follow a bit of an order or a pattern, sort of build up to where I want to go, and I know what I can sort of achieve with my airbrush. You know, I don't know. Maybe that would be
my answer.
Which
one do you use?
I've got, at the moment, I'm really into my Iwata Highline HBCH, which has been really good. It's a double action one and it can change the pressure. That's my favorite. But
that's good.
That's awesome. And one person you'd like to hear on the podcast?
It'd be awesome to hear from people outside the usual suspects of the UK, US. And I'd love to hear from Eva and Luve, the makeup designers in Sweden. I think they do really beautiful work. I've been yeah, really inspired by watching on Instagram things that they post.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I spoke to them briefly for the Oscars special, but we could dig in a little. That's just, you know, touching the surface on that one job. So
yeah,
be nice to dig in deeper to chat to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool. I agree with Em. I also think, I think there was once, I don't know if you actually have done this yet, but I think you were saying once, Jamie, that you were going to maybe do something with, you know, someone that's like really junior and really new to the industry. And I think that could be cool because I feel like what my perspective was when I first started out in film to now is really different. And it would be kind of cool to go back into, you know, or listen to someone that's still in that mindset of
a time capsule. Of,
yeah. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like someone that's just started or something. And what have they sort of learned? I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to someone who's just started. I did chat to one hair person and one makeup person over here who they hadn't got into the union yet, so it was just that discussion. But I haven't spoken to anybody maybe like fresh out of school.
Yeah, well, maybe not fresh, but, you know, one or two films in or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be really different. But, yeah, I'd love to hear, yeah, other workshops and other studios. Even overseas is cool because I feel like things are done so differently depending on what country you're into.
Yeah.
So that's always, I find that really interesting how things are.
Yeah, there's so many people in Spain and Italy as well that are doing really cool stuff. And, yeah, workshoppy people. There's that in Italy, there's a, what is it, kind of like an IMATS trade show. It's called Effectus, I think.
Oh.
And I think maybe Valentina Bistin runs it. I'm not sure. I don't want to misspeak. But, yeah, she would be great to speak to. I think she's involved in putting on this kind of expo for all the Italian artists.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to go to.
Well,
yeah.
Get your tickets, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell you guys about this, but before we wrap, would you like to do a quick fire round of questions in 30 seconds?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You're doing it. It's happening.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather work in snow or sand?
Sand.
Sand.
If you won Lotto, would you keep working?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I don't know.
Do you watch more TV or movies?
TV.
TV.
Have you ever quit a job?
No.
Have you ever been fired?
No.
Do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
I wish.
You wish you believe?
Yeah.
I wish for them to be real, but I don't think I do believe in them. But...
Oh, my God.
Cole's going to be so proud of me, Em.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was good. I want more of that. That was good.
You like under the pressure. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny that in our industry. Yeah,
exactly. It's what we live for. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks
so much for having us.
That was fun.
It was fun.
What were we worried about?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, Last Looks crew, thanks for listening. And remember, if you love it, share it. A quick scroll down and you'll find our show notes. Or maybe you'd like to give your support and leave a 5-star review. Go on. Search the Last Looks podcast on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, whichever one tickles your fancy. And a massive shout out to the husband, Brett Stanley. Without his patience and tech support, this whole podcast situation simply does not happen. And cheers to Liliana Rose for her fabulous voice acting talents. Okay, Last Looks crew, that's a wrap for me. I don't need to be told twice to get out of here. So bye. I'll catch you on the flip side.
That's a wrap, people.